is always worth one's reading the Bible, looking out for those words which point to something that's gone before, because therein lies the explanation. So, for instance, in John's account here of the Gospel, as Jesus is continuing to reflect upon what Nicodemus has come to see him about, he said, "For God so loved the world." In fact, the original says, "So God loved the world." There's lots of televisions you probably watch these days, particularly the news, and they always begin with "so." So, actually, "so God loved the world." Have we got in our minds how much he loved the world? He loved it just so very much, and that's just not about actually human beings, though of course he loves us so very much. But actually his world, the whole of creation, it's his. And right in the beginning of time, way back, book of Genesis and all that, the book of beginnings, he said that as each phase of creation went through, he said, "It is good. It is good." And what he came to do was to restore what he had begun. So just as Adam and Eve were able to walk with God and worship shamelessly before him, and that was lost, so in Jesus Christ, it has been restored again. And it is possible to walk with God again by his Spirit in your life. That's how it works. And so God loved the world. So God loved the world. That's an extraordinary amount, really. He was willing that his Son should die, that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. You must have heard that 1,000 times. Possibly more, I don't know. But each time I read it, I think of the amazing sacrifice of God in Christ on the cross. The one who did not come to condemn the world, but actually to save the world through that sacrifice, through the sacrificial blood of Christ on the cross. And it says here, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man also must be lifted up." It was lifted up as the only way it was going to happen. So the story about Moses lifting up the snake in the desert goes back to a disobedient people, a grumbling people. And because they grumbled against God, they began to lose their lives. The snakes were biting the poisonous snakes, and they were dying all over the place. And the only way that they could prevent that from happening to themselves was to look at the snake that Moses lifted up in the desert. And just as that happened, so the Son of Man must be lifted up too. And that's exactly what happened, isn't it? That Jesus was raised up so that everyone who believes in him may have everlasting life. And we need to look at him. We need to seek him. And we need to not just gaze at him, not just a casual glance, but we need to look at what God has done as we look at the cross and remind ourselves of all that that means and can mean to each and every one of us. And as we look at the cross and we ponder the enormity of what God has done in Christ, it ought to touch us very deeply within and lead us into that special place, that special relationship with God. So God loved the world. Have you grasped how much he loves you? So much. And the next phrase I want to look at is in Colossians, where Paul says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion." And he begins to paint a picture of what it ought to look like as a redeemed people of God. So first of all, we see that, first of all, that we have been raised with Christ. The wonderful truth is that he has raised us up into the heavenly places to be with him, even while we're here on earth. I know that's a bit of an odd thing to get our minds around. But he has raised us up so that we may walk with him in this life. And he says, "Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And he goes on to say some very important things. Clothe yourselves, first of all, with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. All the attributes of Jesus Christ himself. All the things that are given to those who follow Christ, which are known as the fruit of the Spirit. Clothe yourselves with these things. We have to do this. It's very interesting on Mothering Sunday that perhaps we think about our minds go to our experience of our mothers. And when we were young, they clothed us too. And when we got a bit older, we didn't want to wear what they chose. We wanted to wear something else. As Christians, we have to clothe ourselves with all that God has chosen to give us, so that we might be in him and he might be in us. And it seems to me that being clothed with compassion is really a significant part of the fruit of knowing God. Having a compassionate heart, just as God has compassion towards us, a compassionate heart for those with whom we share our lives. A compassionate heart that perhaps breaks as God's heart breaks as we look at what is happening in our world in so many different ways. How will God touch you with his compassion so that you can show compassion to others today? There may be people in a different country, or maybe your neighbour, but clothe yourselves with compassion. This is a deliberate act that we need to undertake. With kindness, same kind of idea really, looking at ways in which we may show kindness to those with whom we share our lives. With humility, humility is a really important fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? And a quality that we all need in this life, so that we don't actually think of ourselves less, but actually we think of ourselves less often. We need to put others before ourselves in many respects, and that's exactly what Jesus preached and did during his life. Gentleness and patience are two important qualities too. Very important part of the clothing that we need to wear as Christians. Gentleness with each other, and gentleness with our neighbours, and just having that quality which suggests to others that we have something within us that has moved us to this place, has changed our outlook upon life and the way we treat each other. And patience. That's a tough one, isn't it? I don't know how many of you are very good at patience, but it is God's patience that we're seeking. And we have the Spirit of God within us. And so the quality of patience should come from that relationship. Patience with what's happening in our lives. It's easy to get frustrated when we don't get what we want in life, but actually patience is an important quality. Patience with the way God is dealing with me is really important. I don't always like it much, but that's the way it kind of works. Patience is an important thing. Then Paul goes on to talk about bearing with each other, forgiving each other, whatever grievances you may have against each other. Very important within family life, isn't it? If we don't deal with things in family life, how quickly it escalates and can destroy the fabric of our existence together. It needs dealing with immediately, or else it festers and can get worse. So forgive as the Lord forgives. That's the benchmark. How does the Lord forgive you? So God loved the world. So that's the benchmark for us all as Christians. We need to learn to forgive as the Lord forgives. And over all these virtues, find a bit of clothing. Put on love. Put it on each and every day. The love of Christ. Be aware of it. Allow it to shape and formulate the way you think about people. And the things that you think you're just about to say. Does it have the mark of love about it? Or does it have a whiff of something else which isn't right? We need to be very careful about what we say and do. And put this thing on, put this love on, because it binds all of those other things together in perfect unity. So God loved the world, therefore put the right clothing on each and every day, that you in your life may be able to make a difference in the world in which we live by being a witness to that God, that love of God which He has poured into our hearts, which we receive by faith and with thanksgiving.